Isaiah chapter 28. And my text is be taken from verse 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone that's tried. It's a tried stone, precious cornerstone, a certain and sure foundation. Sinner that believes on Christ shall not perish. That's what he's saying. The sinner that believes on Christ shall not perish. I'm interested in that because I'm a sinner. I'm ungodly. Born that way, born in sin, shaping in iniquity. And I know by nature man will not seek the truth. He'll seek anything but the truth. Because of my condition by nature, I'm totally dead, spiritually dead, have no spiritual appetite for the true bread of heaven. Not to say that man is not religious, because he is. But if God doesn't do something for me and in me, I will stay in that dead state, hiding in a religious refuge of lies and claiming all the time, I know God. I'm saved. My friend, there is no salvation apart from the truth of God that is revealed in the Word of God that describes unto us the true foundation of salvation. These people here, they were quite confident in what God is doing through God's prophet. God's prophet are sent to warn people. Don't go that way. They're also sent to declare the way. The Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Isaiah is doing here. He's plainly warning these folks that said, He said, hear the word of the Lord, verse 14, you scorners, because you have said, we've made a covenant with death. They thought everything was all fixed up. They were for sure of heaven as if they were already there. They said, we've got a covenant with death. They didn't say we have a covenant with Christ. And the blood of the covenant is our only hope. They said, we have an agreement with the grave, with hell. We have an agreement with death. Remember what Satan told Adam and Eve? You'll not surely die. You know, lost religious men today believe the same thing. They don't think they're going to die. Certainly they don't think they're going to face God in judgment. They said, we've made a covenant with hell, we're in agreement. When the overflowing scourge of God's wrath comes through, it won't come near to me. We have a refuge. It is a refuge of lies. And we've hid ourselves not under the truth, not in Christ who is the truth, but it says here in a falsehood, have we hid ourselves, not in Christ, but in a falsehood. Because men have not changed since Adam's fall. You remember what Adam did? Fallen Adam? He had a refuge of lies before God taught him the truth. Fig leaf aprons to hide from God. Crazy. That's nonsense. That's insanity to hide from God under fig leaves. False religion is no different. Men hide themselves, wrap themselves up in a feeling, an experience, a decision, an aisle walking, praying through, the mourner's bench, all those things. That's not salvation. If you're looking to some time and place for comfort and assurance, you're looking to the wrong place. Salvation's in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I've talked to a lot of people over the years, and I've never talked to anybody that didn't have some refuge that they were hiding in. You know, even irreligious people, how many times have you heard this statement? Well, you know, those folks down at church down there where you preach, you know, I'm just as good as they are. Well, I'm sure you're right. On the basis of one worm comparing himself to another worm, we're all worms. You're just as good as your worm, just as good as my worm. But we're all worms. But you see, I'm not the standard. God's a standard. How do you compare to Him? That's the problem. Men try to hide themselves and justify themselves. Our Lord exposed the Pharisees, didn't He? He said, you are they which justify yourselves before men. And that's what we do naturally. We try to justify ourselves. But our Lord stuck His finger right in their heart and said, that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Religious giving, religious doing, God says away with it. It's filthy rags. You see, Isaiah came to warn these people and to expose that which is false by exalting that which is true. And you know, our thinking, naturally, our thinking is totally wrong. Totally wrong. The Bible, God's Word, was given to us to correct our thinking. There's a way that seems right unto men. There's a way that seems right. Do the best you can. Clean up your act. Join the church. I talked to a man just the other day. And he said, well, you know, I belong to church. Well, who doesn't? But that's not salvation. The Bible was given to correct our thinking and to point us to the Lord Jesus Christ, the only true refuge. There's a way that seems right unto men, but the end of that way is death. Don't go that way. I'm telling you, don't go that way. Look to Christ right now. And saving faith that is real and God-given is continuously looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not looking back. Salvation is not back there. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, we look to Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in verse 16, God describes for us how safe and how certain is this refuge that God has provided. Anything we provide will not cut the mustard. That is, it won't stand in the day of God's judgment. It won't stand. Not at all. But what will? I want to know what will. Well, He tells us what will stand in the day of God's judgment. Because in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no judgment. It's already passed. No condemnation to those who are in Christ. Now look at verse 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God. Now this is what God says. Now we're not talking here about a peanut God. We're talking here about God who is God. Says throughout the book of Isaiah, I am God, beside me there is none else. He's the only just God and Savior. And He is sovereign, absolute God over all things. And you can't take that too far. God is either He's absolute God over all things, or He's not God at all. Paul declared in Romans, of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory. God, this is the foundation, this is the refuge of the Lord God that He has provided. He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. He will provide. You can be certain and sure that which He provides, He will accept. You see, I'm accepted in the Beloved, the Lord Jesus. Now, several things here about this foundation. First of all, the designer of this foundation. He said, behold, I lay in Zion. This is the foundation of the Lord God's providing. Almighty God is the architect. He designed the intricate details of all of salvation. He designed it. He provides it. He's the builder of this foundation. And you know what? Notice this. Behold, I lay in Zion. That's God's church. That's God's elect for a foundation. Just one. You see what He's saying there? A foundation. There's not many ways. One. There's one way. There's one foundation. There's salvation in no other name but the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, I'm truth, I'm life. And then He says, no man no person comes unto the Father but by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not like my brother tried to describe to me when I flew out when my dear daddy passed away 3 years ago, and I flew back out to the land of Mormonism, that refuge of lies that I grew up in. And when we had buried my dad, who died without a hope, he died in his sin, without God, without hope, and without Christ. Although he was most religious, he had a refuge of lies. You say, well, that's awful hard and cruel. It's the truth. It's the truth. He didn't believe the truth. He hated what I preach and believe. He hated that. Hated God. But when my brother was taking me back to the airport, he said, and I tried to tell him about the one way. And I stood in that Mormon chapel and was presented an opportunity to preach the gospel to 300 some people in a Mormon chapel. Never ever dreamed that would have happened. But I preached the gospel of God's grace, and a lot of folks, including my family, got right mad, got right upset. And my brother, as he took me back to the airport, he said, well, you know, salvation's like this. God's on a big high mountain, and we're all taking these different trails and roads up this mountain, and we're eventually going to get to the top. We're just coming different ways. And I said, my friend, salvation is not that way. There's just one way of salvation, and it is found in the gospel, the true gospel, not another, the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation that's all of God saving, sovereign, particular, redeeming, electing, redeeming, saving grace alone. You see, there's just one foundation. One foundation. Notice, he says, a foundation. Christ is the only foundation upon which sinners can hide safely and find salvation and righteousness. All the prophets of the Old Testament and all the apostles of the New all pointed to this one foundation. No other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. They all talked about this foundation. Acts chapter 4 verse 12, John chapter 14 verse 6, Ephesians chapter 2, Acts 10:43, to Him give all the prophets witness. Leviticus. Who wrote that? It's called the third book of Moses. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Our Lord said to those Jews, you search the Scripture and you think you have life, but you know what? They testify of me, and you will not come to me that you might have life. And then He said this. If you had believed Moses, you would have believed me because he wrote about me. Leviticus 16 is all about Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. So is Genesis. So is Exodus. So is Numbers. The whole book of God is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's just one foundation for Zion that God has laid, and that's Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the foundation. Now turn to 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11 says this, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ the Lord, which is Jesus Christ. So there's just, have I convinced you? I hope I haven't, but I hope God will convince you in your heart that there's just one Savior. One, there's just one gospel. There's one faith. One foundation. There's just one church. Had just one church. He loved the church and gave Himself for it. What does that word church mean? You know what it means? It means those who are called out. The called out! I'm one of those called out ones. He loved the church and gave Himself for it. And there's just one. Salvation not in a sect or a denomination. I'm against it. Salvation's in Christ. You don't mind if I talk that way in Tennessee, do you? Again it? I know that's not good English, but it's good theology. So there's just one foundation. This foundation that God has laid, and He asks us to behold it, gaze upon it, think upon it, meditate upon it, rest in it. Behold! This foundation says, He says it's a stone or a rock. And that stone and that rock is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He's the rock of ages. Now I want you to find Isaiah 32, real close here, Isaiah 32. In Genesis chapter 49, He's called the stone of Israel. The stone of Israel. But here in Isaiah 32, verse 2, Isaiah 32, 2, a man shall be a hiding place from the wind. Who is this man? What's the God-man, mediator? The Lord Jesus. He's a hiding place. There's that refuge. A refuge of God providing one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. He's a hiding place from the wind. He's a covering from the tempest. As rivers of water in a dry place, as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. He's that great rock in this weary land. He's that great rock. Our Lord told Peter, upon this foundation, upon this rock, I'll build my church, and nothing, not even the gates or power of hell, can prevail against this foundation. So this is a stone, this is a rock that God has laid. And then notice again in the text here, Isaiah 28:16, it's called a tried stone. A tried stone. When you build a building, and when builders build a building today, they always use something that's tried, proven, and tested. A tried stone. You wouldn't want to invest all your money to build a house on some experimental thing that's never been tried before. You wouldn't venture that upon something that's not proven and tried, would you? You wouldn't do that. You would seek something that was proven and tested and certain and sure and invest in that, wouldn't you? God uses proven material to construct His temple, His foundation, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus was tried and tested and proven and tempted in every conceivable way, yet never failed in any aspect at all. You know the law of God tried Him? Turn over there in Isaiah. We'll stay in Isaiah here, Isaiah 42. The law of God tried the Lord Jesus. That is, He was tempted and tested in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He's a tried, proven stone. The law of God came at Him. And you know what? He honored the law of God for us. Look what it says here in Isaiah 42, verse 1. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my elect, and whom my soul delighteth. Isaiah 42, 1. I put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment. In a better word, there is righteousness to the Gentile. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, a smoking flax shall he not quench. He's a tender, merciful Savior. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth, righteousness unto truth. He shall not fail. Now, I like that. I like things that don't fail. You know why? Because I'm a failure. You are too. I failed to honor God. I failed to honor the law of God. But this one that's God's servant, His elect, he shall not fail nor be discouraged till he has established judgment, righteousness in the earth, and we'll wait for his word. We'll wait for his gospel. Now stay right here in Isaiah 42. We're talking about the tried stone, and I'm saying the law of God tried the Lord Jesus, and he honored God's law in every precept of that law. 700 or 800 precepts of that law. He honored and exalted every one of them. And the penalty of that law, the penalty of that law was death. He redeemed us from the curse of that law, being made a curse for us. Now, Isaiah 42, look at verse 21. The Lord is well pleased for His righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. Now, you know what? You know what the good news of this is to this sinner? He honored God's law as the God-man mediator, and He did that for His people. That is the very righteousness that He gives to me. You see, my substitute honored God's law, satisfied God's justice, and He freely gives that to His people. It's a word we use found in Romans chapter 4 that's used several times, imputed, counted, and reckoned. Blessed is the man to whom God would impute, give righteousness without work, without any contribution on your part. I have a righteousness that honors God's law. Think of it. That's Christ. This is a tried stone. Satisfied the law of God, tried Him. He satisfied it. Satan tried Him. He said, the prince of this world has come and he's found no agreement. There's nothing ally in the Lord Jesus Christ that agreed with the prince of darkness. He's light. Matter of fact, He crushed Satan's power at the cross. This is the seed of the woman that crushed His power, crushed His dominion. The law of God tried Him. Satan tried Him. The Father tried Him. He said, this is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Our Lord prayed in John 17, Father, I glorified You on earth. I finished the work You gave me to do. Honored God. Satisfied God. And you know what? Every believer down through the ages that have trusted and believed the Lord Jesus Christ have found Him to be a proven, safe, certain refuge to rest in. Isaiah 41. Let me show you this. This is one of my favorite verses. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Isaiah 41, 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. I am thy God. Isaiah 41, 10. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of My righteousness. We can trust the Lord Jesus Christ without any reservation. Fear not. That message rings throughout the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 43 said, fear not. Fear not. I am God. Beside Me there is none else. So this is a tried stone. Now look back at Isaiah 28:16. You see how He describes this refuge for us to rest in? It's the one foundation. It's a stone, a rock. Certain and sure it's tried. And then He says here it's precious. It's a precious cornerstone. A precious cornerstone. Now, back years ago when they used to construct these big buildings out of stones, the cornerstone was the centerpiece in the building that knitted the building together. It was the most important stone in that structure. It knitted the building and held the building together, and it was considered very precious. If you took that stone out, the whole building would crumble. And what He's saying here, the Lord Jesus Christ is precious. We read in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7, to you who believe, the Lord Jesus Christ is precious. To those who are going about to establish their own righteousness, the Lord Jesus is not a rock to hide in. He's called the rock of offense and a stone of stumbling. They stumble like Christ crucified. Christ alone, but to you, all, to you who believe, He's precious. He is precious. He is called the pearl of great price. He is the pearl. He is precious. Only things, the the Lord Jesus Christ is the only thing that's truly precious to the believer. Christ is all and in all. We often look at little babies, and we often say those newborn babies, they say, oh, so precious. Well, it is to us. But that pales in comparison as we view and look upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He's altogether lovely. He's precious. He's precious. You see, if you look at this word precious, jot that down and look it up in the Scripture sometime and see what God calls precious. Precious. We're redeemed with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not redeemed with silver and gold or our tradition or our ceremony, but with the precious blood of Christ. We are saved with an everlasting salvation, and we are saved and we receive salvation by God-given faith. And you know what faith is called? Precious. Precious. 2 Peter 1:4. To you that have obtained like precious faith. Why is faith so precious? It says in the book of Hebrews that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Oh, I must have it then. I can't produce it. It's a gift of God. A man who is without faith that's called precious. A man who's without faith is a man without Christ. Without life. Without a foundation. You see, without faith, faith looks to Christ. True faith does. So we redeem with precious blood. We're saved with precious by the precious promises of God. We're saved and united to the Lord Jesus Christ by precious faith. And then He's given us these precious promises. These exceeding great and precious promises. That's 2 Peter 1:4. Precious faith is 2 Peter 1:1. To you who believe, He is precious. It's a precious cornerstone. And then He says it's a sure foundation. You see that? It's sure. You know, I like things that are sure. Don't you? When I go to bed at night, I'm sure, Lord willing, and time continues, that around 7 o'clock, it's going to be daylight. I'm sure. I can count on it. I can take it to the bank. It's certain and sure. God says this foundation that He has laid is a sure foundation. That is, it works. I like things that work. Things that are real. This works. This is salvation. This is a sure foundation. Now, I want you to turn and look at this. 2 Timothy 2:19. 2 Timothy 2:19. 2 Timothy 2:19 says this. Look at this. 2 Timothy 2:19. This is, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knows them that are His. You know, there may come a time in my life, due to mental problems or due to sickness and the frailties of this body, there may come a time in my life when I don't know my own name, yet alone His name. Does that mean I'm lost? No. That means the hope of my salvation is that He knows me. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. You see, He knows His sheep by name. He died for those sheep, and in time He calls them to Himself with the gospel. Not just religious jargon, but with the gospel of God's grace in Christ Jesus. It's a sure foundation. This foundation that God has established will never be changed. Never be changed. He said, I'm the Lord, I change not. This foundation will never be replaced. You need a replacement? You know, things in this life wear out, don't they? Our knee joints, our hip joints, and they replace them. This foundation never wears out. And you know what else about this foundation? It'll never be changed. It'll never be replaced. It'll never be improved. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and in Christ we are complete. Never be changed. It's founded upon His sure word of promise. We have a sure word. Pastor Paul preached from that text last week, didn't he? We have a sure word of prophecy in Christ. It's founded upon the sure covenant mercies God has made with me, an everlasting covenant ordered in all things, and it's sure. This promise of salvation is sure to all His covenant people. Now, Isaiah 28:16. Turn back over there. And here's the last thing. Isaiah 28:16. He gives us a description of saving faith. Isaiah 28:16. He that believeth shall not be forced out. Will never be taken off this foundation. Now, it doesn't say he that worketh, he that laboreth, he that believeth. Salvation is not received by doing, by believing. And that is a glorious gift of God. It is of faith that it might be by grace. The promise might be sure to all the seed. Romans 4:16. Believing God. The Philippian jailer. You remember that story? What is that? Acts chapter 16? Is that right? What must I do to be saved? What did Paul say? He didn't say, well, you got to do this, you got to do that. He corrected his thinking. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He that believeth shall not be forced to flee, never forced out. Believing God, resting in Christ, is not something that we muster up. Faith is not a product of the flesh. Faith is given of God. Faith is giving up on everything but Christ. Faith is committing everything to the care and custody of the Lord Jesus Christ. As Paul says, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Now hold Isaiah 28, because we're coming back to Isaiah for one more reference. But I want you to find Romans 9:33. Romans 9:33. Because when Paul quotes this in Romans 9 from Isaiah 28, this is Romans 9:33. As it is written, Romans 9:33. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. To you who believe, that's a stumbling stone, it's a rock of offense. But look at this. And there's not a stronger chapter in all the Bible that declares the sovereignty of God in Romans 9. And yet, he declares here the responsibility of the sinner to trust Christ. Whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. I know a lot of people like to take that word, whosoever, and preach man's freedom and will. But that's not what's being said here. Whosoever believeth. That's a miracle. Whoever believes Christ is born of God. And whosoever believes on the Christ of God shall not be ashamed. See the word there? Ashamed. You see, Romans 1:16, turn over there. Romans 1:16 says this, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Are you? Are you ashamed of this thing of sovereign grace? Sovereign mercy? Whosoever believes on Him is not ashamed. As Paul said, I'm not ashamed. This is Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew and to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God. Now, it's not talking about God's righteousness here. It's talking about the righteousness of God. The one that's provided for us, Lonnie, in Christ. Revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the justified live by faith. Now that text I read earlier, find 1 Peter 2:6. 1 Peter 2:6. Turn over here. And he uses the word here, confounded. 1 Peter 2:6. Wherefore also is contained in Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious. He that believeth on Him shall not be confounded. I'm not confused. I may sound like it sometimes, but I'm not confused. I know whom I have believed. Now, I want you to find in closing, look at this, Isaiah 45. Back to Isaiah 45. So God's people will never be forced off this foundation. Those who believe, he that believeth now, he that believeth on Him will never be forced off. He said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, never be ashamed, and will never be confounded. Isaiah 45, look at this. Isaiah 45, verse 16. This is Isaiah 45, 16. They shall be ashamed and confounded, all of them. They shall go to confusion together that are makers of idols. There's confusion, much confusion in false religion. They don't know who God is. They don't know who Christ is. They don't know what He accomplished. But all Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. You shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. Now, that's good news. Ooh, that's good news. Now, my closing question is this. Now, stay right there in Isaiah 45. Are you resting on God's foundation? Are you resting on God's foundation? Or are you trusting something you've done, something you've built, something you contributed? Did you ever go to the beach? Lauren, you like the beach? I'll bet when you, Mom and Dad, took you to the beach, you took a bucket and a little shovel and built a sandcastle. Right? How long did it last? The tide came in and my little boys used to love to build sandcastles. But boy, I tell you, we'd come out the next day and after that tide rolled in, rolled back out, it's gone. Don't build on the sand. Rest on the rock. Don't build a sandcastle. Have you totally rejected all of the foundations and refuge and experience of the flesh? Or are you still resting on some refuge, some feeling that you've constructed or that you have had, or on Christ alone? True faith looks to the Lord Jesus Christ. True faith. Now back to Isaiah 45. True faith looks to the true Christ. Looking, coming, repenting, believing. It's an ongoing life. Look at Isaiah 45, 20 now. Assemble yourselves. Come, draw near together. Ye that are escaped of the nation. They have no knowledge that set up wood of their graven image. And they pray unto a God that cannot save. That's idolatry. Tell ye, bring them near, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I, the Lord, that there is no God else beside me, a just God and Savior? He's a just God and Savior. Now He said, look unto me. Look to Christ. Look to me. And be ye saved. All the ends of the earth, I am God, there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the words gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return unto me, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say in the Lord, I have righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel, that's Christ, his people, shall be justified and shall glory.